Amen. Amen. Again. Wow. Okay. So, since we moved to this new location, we've been talking about devotion and commitment. Amen. And I've been sharing a series of messages on being devoted and being committed. I think on the first day, I shared with you, the Lord has made room for us. Amen. And we saw how that Isaac was blessed when the Lord showed him where to stay. And when he stayed there, God blessed him. And he said that now that the Lord has made room for us, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to do something that I was not doing before. And right after that, the Bible says that same night, the day he made that commitment, God appeared to him and said, I'm going to bless you. Amen. So I realized that when people take a decision and take a step, when people decide within themselves that I am going to get serious with God, I'm going to do better than I've always done, or I'm going to serve and relate with God at a higher level than I always have, God does take notice of such commitments. And he blesses them and responds speedily to such people. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so I trust that as we seek to do that, and as we do this, you shouldn't compare yourself with anybody. Amen. You are an individual. Most of us were born alone. You know, even those who are twins didn't come together at the same time. Hallelujah. And so as you were born alone, you should always remember that you are an individual. In life, God gives you a friend, God gives you a spouse, God even gives you a child, but it does not change your individuality. Hallelujah. You should always remember that before God, you are individual. And so what others do or do not do should not matter to your relationship with Him. Hallelujah. You have a relationship with God that God expects you to honor and respect. And as you do so, God is going to bless you as an individual. You can share some of your blessing with your friend, but God wants you always to remember that there is no one who he has placed in your life, whether the person is a friend or the person is a spouse or the person is a beloved or the person is about to be a girlfriend or the person is your best friend. There is no one that God has put in your life who is intended to be a substitute for God. Amen. God did not put anybody in your life to be more important than him or to be as important as he is. God is God and Regina is Regina. Amen. God is God and Samuel is Samuel. Hallelujah. So that is why when you look around, you will find many Samuels, but there is only one God. Hallelujah. So God is God, and he must remain God in your life, and then you must show that in your devotion and commitment to him and to his work. Everybody say amen, please. All right. Then last week, we started talking about how we can develop devoted members in our church. Amen. And we said that the first step is to be devoted yourself. And that's when we talked about those three wonderful animals that they were illustrating to us this morning. Amen. We said that everybody goes through three stages. The deer, the goat, and the sheep stage. You know, and the characteristics of the stages are often shown in our behavior. Amen. And remember, I showed you a picture of a deer. One of the main characteristics of the deer is that they are a hiding animal. When they see you coming, they start going. Do you see? When they see, they always go in the opposite direction to where you are, as you are coming to them. You know, they don't stand for you to get to them. They always go away from you. They run away from church before the pastor can even spot them and ask for their name. You know, they see the pastor coming in their direction. They quickly pass there, use the bathroom, and then just enter the bathroom and wait behind the bathroom door to see if the footsteps have stopped. You know, but what if they stop because he's standing behind the door? Hallelujah. So the deer is the one who's always hiding. You can never get them on the phone. They call them, they never return your calls. They never pick up their calls. They can see you calling. Sometimes the phone is right next to them. And they are watching some reality show. And the phone is right next to them. The phone rings and they look, Pastor, he's coming to bring Bible verses to interrupt my enjoyment. You get it? So they don't pick up and they allow the phone to go to voicemail and say, I'm sorry, I'm not available to take your call. Meanwhile, the person is right there, very available. They just want to hide. Hallelujah. And then from there, you go to the goat stage, where the goat stage, he is not such a hiding animal. You can see him, except that he is independent. You can't get him to do anything. Amen. When he sees you coming, he may take two steps backwards just and watch what you are up to. And say, what are you trying to do? What do you want? But they particularly are very independent animals. You know, they don't join the others so much. They don't care if they are alone. They don't care if they are different. When everybody is doing this, we're all doing this together, they choose to do something else. You know, and they will not allow themselves to be led by anybody. You see, and those people also don't get blessed much from their experience in a church like this one. Hallelujah. Because we realized from the psalm we read last week that the best way to behave is to be a sheep. Amen. Because in Psalm 23, as we saw at the beginning of the psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. So you see, all the good things that are happening to the sheep are because they allowed themselves to be led. Isn't it? See, it's not the sheep who chose to be in green pastures. It is the shepherd who made him lie in green pastures. So if you're a sheep and no one can make you do anything, it's a huge handicap for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means there are many places that you can't get to. There are many places that you can't walk in. There are places in God that you can never experience because no one can make you do anything. Do you see? It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. So you see the sheep enjoying still waters. It is a product of them allowing themselves to be led. So the sheep who cannot be led is the sheep who will not be beside still waters. You know? So as a sheep, you must allow yourself to be led by the shepherd. Amen. Allow yourself to be directed. Allow yourself to be encouraged. Allow yourself to be brought to places, you know, things you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, things you wouldn't have done on your own. But God has anointed and appointed someone who will lead you into those things. Can I have an amen? Amen. You probably would not fast on your own. But God has anointed someone who will declare a fast and say, this Tuesday we are all fasting, and then you join it. Oh, God has anointed someone who will put together a prayer meeting. You most likely would not pray on your own. Many of us do not pray on our own. And even if we do, we don't pray much. You know, even some of our prayers that we pray, you wonder if it's a prayer or a poem. Do you see? You know, like you get food and you say, blessed, blessed. Who is being blessed and where is the blessing coming from? I mean, and instead of opening your mouth to give thanks to God for the food that you have, because there are many people in the world today who do not have food to eat, but you have been blessed to have something to eat. And then you say, blessed, blessed. So who is being blessed? Is it the food who is being blessed, or you are the blessed one who has been blessed by the food? You see what I'm saying? Somebody said, God bless the cooker, the eater, and the farmer, or something like that. So all these meaningless prayers. Do you understand? But God has anointed somebody who will be your shepherd, who will organize prayer meetings where you will learn how to pray. Hallelujah. And that is going to be a blessing for you, but you need to yield yourself to it. You need to allow yourself to be led. And that way, you can experience the good things that come from the shepherd. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. Look, no, don't go too fast. Verse 3. He says, he restoreth my soul. Then you have a colon, which often says that it means what he's about to say explains what he has just said. Do you understand? So he says, he restoreth my soul. How does the Lord do that? By leading me in paths of righteousness. Do you see? Leading me and guiding me into paths and places that make righteousness possible, or that lead me to righteousness. So you can see, again, the leadership is coming before the experience of the product. Amen. You see that you must allow yourself to be led. That's a sheep who cannot be led has a huge problem. Amen. It is a huge liability to your life if no one can make you do anything. If no one can tell you what to do. If your motto is, I am my own man. Do you understand? I do my own thing. I don't care what anybody thinks. If that is your motto, it is a huge liability, and you will experience it as you go through life. You will realize that most things in life you are not discovered by you. Most things, someone has to lead you to it. Someone has to show you something. Someone has to introduce you to someone. I even met my wife through someone. Do you understand? So if nobody can make you do anything, perhaps that's even why you are single. I said perhaps. I don't know what the case is for you. Hallelujah. But that is how it is. Someone has to encourage you and say, let's do this. Let's try this. Let's go here. Let's do this. Have you heard about this? Have you tried this? And you must allow yourself, be humble and allow yourself, because you don't know it all. Hallelujah. You don't know it all. Someone has to lead you and someone has to guide you. And if someone can make you lie down, and if someone can lead you beside still waters, and if someone can lead you in paths, then you will find yourself experiencing still waters. You find yourself lying in green pastures, and you find yourself also walking in righteousness as God intends for every one of his children. Say amen if you understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. Right. So I'm continuing from where we left off. Right? So number one is to be devoted yourself. Okay. Then number two, how can we develop devoted members in our church? The second thing to do is to say positive things about the church. Amen. That is to say, speak well of your church. Amen. Speak well of your church. Now, a church is a collection of people who are trying to know God. Amen. Every church has its imperfections. Amen. Every church has something that it doesn't do very well. Amen. Now, no one wants to be part of something that is not working or that is not successful. Hallelujah. No one wants to go to a place where all they hear is just bad news about the place. Amen. You know, for example, many of you would not even be too excited if I told you right now that I'm giving you a 3-day or let's say 1-week vacation to Egypt. See, she said, hey. So vacation is good, but Egypt. Do you see? Now, it is not because you have been to Egypt before. You don't want to go to Egypt, not because you've been to Egypt before, but because of what you heard about Egypt in the news. Is it not the case? Yeah. It's because you've heard so many bad things happening in Egypt recently. The stories we've heard from the journalists and the things we've seen on the television just make us unlikely to be excited about going on a vacation full the ticket is paid for, all your expenses are taken care of, just go on a nice vacation this week in Egypt. Edupohu. Have you been to Egypt before? So I'm blessing you with a ticket to Egypt. He said, no. He doesn't want it. Amen. So when you hear so many bad things about the place, or especially if you do not hear encouraging things about a place, you often do not want to go to the place. It's as simple as that. Amen. That is why every one of us needs to learn how to speak well of the church. Amen. There are things that may not work in our church. Our church is not a perfect church. But there are some things also that work very well in our church. So it's a matter of what you decide to focus on. Hallelujah. I don't imagine that the whole Egypt is burning. Except that they are not telling us about the nice things in Egypt. Do you understand? They are telling us where the war is, where the fight is, where the action is, and that especially makes you not want to go there. But if they will turn their attention to something else, if they will tell you about some of the cities where there is no such fight, if they will tell you about some of the rivers and some of the wildlife and some of the natural things they have over there, perhaps you might be interested in going to Egypt. Hallelujah. So in the same way, if we will talk about the positive things in our church, people will be more encouraged. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People will be more encouraged if you speak well of your church, if you talk about how blessed you are when you come to church. I mean, you must be blessed to be in this church. How do I know that? Because you keep coming. Because we don't pay you to come here. Do we pay you to come to church? We don't pay you to come to church. Neither do you live next door to this place. So your presence here is not a product of proximity or convenience. That's not why you're here. Do you understand? But you're here because it makes sense for you to be here. You're here because you are blessed when you come here. So that is what you need to share with other people. Can I have an amen? You need to share with other people. You come to church and you are blessed. The whole experience is encouraging for you. Your soul, your spirit is lifted up. You know, you come to church down, you go back home up. You feel encouraged. You feel stirred up. You feel, you know, stirred up to move forward and to take on challenges and to continue. That is what you need to share with other people. Amen. That's what you need to share with your friends. You need to tell other people, you know, I went to church and I was blessed. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. I believe it's going to change your life. I believe it's going to make a difference because it is the truth. I am still in church because it has changed my life and it continues to change my life. Can I have an amen? So learn to say positive things about the church. Can I have an amen? Now, the next thing is, let me give you a next one, similar to this one. Say positive things. Say positive things about the pastors. Amen. Hallelujah. Say positive things about the pastors. Now, some people do not speak well of their pastors. Some people just say terrible things about their pastors all the time. Amen. But in our church, we don't speak and say bad things about our pastors. Can I have an amen? Amen. We do not speak and say bad things about our pastors. You know, sometimes when we get into, like once I was in a situation where I was with some people who belonged to another church, and then they started talking about their pastor. You know, it was after some program in their church. And then they started talking about their pastor. And I was just thinking, how can you say such bad things about your pastor and after that bring him your baby to bless? Do you understand? Because I was in the place, the person was talking and he could not even, I was trying to make excuses for the pastor. And I was trying to explain to the person that your pastor is just a human being. Maybe he forgot this, or maybe he didn't see this, or what if he didn't mean this? I even asked him, what if you were wrong? Do you understand? Because I asked him, do you know everything? He said, no. Are you always right? He said, no. I said, what if this is one of those instances? You know? Then as we concluded, he said, by the way, next week is my baby dedication and pastor is going to pray for the baby. And I'm just thinking that you can't see anything good about this pastor, but somehow you believe that God can use his prayers to bless your child. You are either a hypocrite or you were wrong. Do you understand? Your pastor is not a perfect person. You will never have a perfect pastor. The day you have a perfect pastor, he will have wings on his back. And he'll be called angel. Hallelujah. You're only going to have a human being for a pastor. Hallelujah. And you must learn to say positive things about the pastor. Amen. If the pastor's preaching helps you, you need to learn to say it. Do you understand? If the pastor's preaching helps you, you need to learn to say it. If your pastor preaches and you understand it, because not every pastor's preaching can be understood. Do you see? Every pastor can preach, but not every pastor's preaching can be understood. You know, sometimes you go to a place and you listen to a message. Okay, you heard the preaching, but okay, what exactly was the point? You understand? You don't understand, or you don't even remember anything. You can't remember what this. You say, how was church? It was very, very, very fine. Very nice. So what did they preach? Huh? From the word of God. Of course it's from the word of God. But exactly what from the word of God? Hallelujah. But if you're being blessed, say, my pastor preaches. When my pastor preaches, I understand. My life is changing. This is preaching that makes sense to me. This is preaching that is a blessing to me. You need to say it. Amen. Not to me or to any of the pastors, but you need to say it to your friends. You need to encourage them. We are talking about how to have devoted. We are trying, and this is something we are doing together. All of us are building a church of devoted members. Hallelujah. So we need to speak well of our pastors. Say amen. We need, if you've been blessed by any other pastors in the church, the pastor has encouraged you. You need to say it. Learn to say good things about the pastor, and that will be a blessing to the church, and that is going to help people to be devoted. Amen. Remember, we're reading Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, they steadfastly devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Where is it, please? Acts chapter 2. And verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Can I have an amen? Amen. So you need to believe in the pastors or your pastor's preaching. Your pastor's preaching is the best preaching for you. Hallelujah. It's just like a woman who has a baby. When a woman has a baby, God miraculously fills that particular woman's breast with milk for that baby. Do you understand? And the milk that that woman has for that baby is the best milk for the baby. Hallelujah. Everybody knows that. It's the best milk for the baby. Not that one person has a baby and then God fills another person's breast for milk with milk for that baby. No, that's not how it works. Hallelujah. So the pastor of the church is the one whose breast or spiritual breasts are filled with milk. Amen. I believe that my spiritual breasts are filled with milk. You can't see them, but next week I'll bring them to church and you'll see them. Hallelujah. But my spiritual breasts, you just imagine me with breasts here. So they are filled with milk for you. I have more things to preach to you about than even you have time to hear. That is the truth. The reason why I close is because it's time. It's not because I finished the things. I can never finish my preaching. Sometimes I'm just still in the introduction and then I realize the time is up and I have to stop. Do you understand? Sometimes I just feel it's enough. Just move on to the next point so I can say something different. But not that I've finished saying what I'm saying. That is why I go back when I come back next week. I have more things to share with you. Amen. So you need to believe. You need to believe. Your pastor's preaching is the best preaching for you. That is the truth. It's not about being conceited or being proud or boasting. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not even trying to say that I'm a good preacher. But I'm saying where you are concerned, I'm the best preacher for you. That's the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if a mother is saying to her baby that my breast milk is the best for you, is she boasting? She's not boasting. It's just the truth. Because when she had the baby, God filled her breast with the milk, not with her sister's breast. It's like I'm using a bad word in church. Okay, God filled her. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand it, then I'll move on quickly. But if you don't, I'm going to stay with it. Can I have an amen? Amen. God put the milk in the mother's breast, not in the mother's breast. Or in the mother's sister's breast. Or the mother's first best friend's breast. No. The one who gave birth to the thing is the best preacher for the thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why we're sharing these things with you so you can understand. And that's what you need to be devoted to. There are many other preachers, yes, but you need to listen especially to your pastor's preaching. Hallelujah. If you turn on television, you're going to see so many other preachers who preach nicely and perhaps better than your pastor. But your pastor's preaching is in particular the best preaching for you. Can I have an amen? Put your hands together for the Lord. So you need to say good things about the pastors. Say amen. Amen. Then the next one is you need to say good things about the church members. You need to speak well of your brothers and sisters in the church. Can I have an amen? Amen. We need to say good things about what? The church members. Hallelujah. Now, in every church, you are bound to have a bad experience at one time or the other. Hallelujah. You're bound to have a bad experience at one time or the other. But some people have a habit of saying terrible things about church members. Do you understand? And they say it in such a way that it makes everyone who hears about it think that the whole church is like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But one bad experience that you have with somebody does not characterize the whole church. Our church is not defined by the experiences you have with other people who are themselves also people who have come to church and who are trying to get better. Are you getting what I'm saying? The church is full of imperfect people. The church is full of people who are learning how to stop gossiping, who are learning how to stop envying, people who are even learning how to smile. Do you understand? How to smile. Yeah, because there are some people, smiling is not part of their lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they are learning how to be nice. We are bound to have all kinds of experiences with one another in the church. But you should learn to speak well about the church members. Hallelujah. Sometimes you hear people say things like, I don't trust these church members. Huh? Where are you from? Amen. We also can't trust you. You see people who say that, I can't trust, I need to watch my back because these church members, you know, because you lost something or something like that. Of course, when you come to church, there can be thieves in the church. But if a church doesn't have room for thieves, then I don't know where else, apart from jail, thieves can go to. Are you getting what I'm saying? The best place, when people go to jail, they are not there to get better. They are there to pay for their sins. But when people come to church, they are here to get better. Here, there is spiritual medication in the preaching and teaching in the church that has the effect of changing people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we need to have room for thieves. We need to have room for adulterers. We need to have room for all kinds of people. Every type of person is welcome in the church. This is the place for all kinds of people. And if you understand that to be what a church is, you are not surprised when you have a bad experience in the church. If you understand what a hospital is, you are not surprised when you enter the emergency and you see someone like that. That's the place. This is where they belong. If you walk past somebody and they are crying and screaming, you don't stand there and say, "Hey! Screaming in a room like this." No, it's the place for screaming. Who works in a hospital? You work in a hospital. Do people cry and scream at the hospital? How often? Most of the time. So you work with screaming people. They are in pain. Are you surprised by their pain? You are not surprised. You are not shocked. Really? You are not shocked that you've seen someone in pain. Why not? You see them a lot. Wow. And you still go there every day. Say, it's my job. It's my job. It's my job. So can you blame me if I also say it's my job to be with imperfect people? The other day I heard that some people were talking about this in another church. They were saying that they are leaving the church because the pastor has allowed a lady who had a baby with someone she wasn't married to. Do you understand? And they said the pastor has allowed the lady to be help with the technical things in the back. Do you see? So it's not a good church. It's not a good church because the pastor is encouraging people by allowing the lady to work in the back. The pastor is encouraging people to have babies with. You see, now you see the logic itself is absurd. You see, so maybe this person has a different type of mental problem or something like that. But even if that was the case, you think about it. That is the pastor's job. The pastor's job. The church is exactly for people like that. And people in such situations. And if such a person has found something to do in the church that will even keep her coming to church every Sunday. Because all of us are encouraged to come to church, especially by what we do in the church. You know, what we do in the church makes us leap over all kinds of obstacles so we can be in church to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the thing. So if the person has found something to do in the back of the church, and you see another imperfect person who does not realize that even for talking about that thing itself makes him a gossip. Do you understand? And makes him or puts him in a situation where he himself is in critical need of care. He is looking back and pointing at one person and saying that the person is not qualified to be there. Who made you a judge over people? And they said that because the pastor is relating with such people, no, he can't be a serious pastor. They did that to Jesus. One day Jesus went to a certain place and a notorious woman, a woman who was well known for, you know, sleeping with so many people and so on in town, the woman came near Jesus and the Bible says she was crying and wetting his feet with her tears, and then she was wiping his feet with her hair. And some people stood back and said, no, 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 no. We now have final proof that you are not the Son of God. This is the real ultimate proof that you can't be a true pastor. Because if you were a true pastor, you will not allow such a woman to come near you. Because can you not see the way she's all over you with her hair? That's right, that she's making advances. And you, Jesus Christ, you are standing there allowing such advances to happen. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. You know, he said, leave her alone. And people are like that. One day some people brought a woman to Jesus. And they said, look, this woman was caught committing adultery. Say, this is not hearsay. This is fili-fili. Do you know fili-fili? Fili-fili means it's, we didn't hear it. We saw the thing with our eyes. Do you get it? Huh. But what were you doing there? That you got to see such a thing. But anyway, they brought Jesus and they quoted a scripture to Jesus. They said to Jesus that, listen, before you even start, the law of Moses requires that we stone such a person to death. So that's for your information. Now we are waiting for your judgment. Tell us. I believe the people came, some of them came with their stones, heavy boulders as they were coming. And as Jesus was standing, they were just waiting. I mean, today be today, we'll see stonings. Then the Bible says that Jesus turned to them and he said to them, the one who has not sinned before. We're going to stone this woman for sure, since you want her to be stoned. But we'll start with the first one. The first one is the one who has never sinned before. He is going to throw the first stone, you know. And there was silence. So as the people were silent, the Bible says Jesus turned around. He began to write in the sand on the ground there. And he was just writing. And as he was writing, the people, each one will remember his sins. He'll be standing there. He'll be doing that. And then he'll remember that even he last week, he also did the same thing. Then you're lucky. Then he walks away. Then another one. Then another one. And another one. After a while, Jesus stood up and he looked. And there was nobody left. So he asked the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And the woman said, "I don't know where they are." And Jesus said, "Well, if they couldn't condemn you, then I will not condemn you either. Just go and sin no more." Hallelujah. What a Jesus. That's the attitude that God expects us to have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how God expects us to be. Not that he was encouraging her. That's why he said, don't sin anymore. Don't do it anymore. But we don't kill you because you fell into sin. Otherwise, there will be none of us here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So all that a church will ever have is imperfect people who are striving and doing their best to get better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are doing their best to get better. You see some people, "Hey, as for me, I don't want these church people to get into my issues." You know, meanwhile, you are surrounded by all kinds of drug dealers and all kinds of rogues and ruffians, and you feel that all those people are better than your church members. But that's not how it is. Can I have an amen? Learn to speak well of one another. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, "You need to speak well of me." Say it loudly so make sure they hear you. Tell your neighbor, "I may not be perfect, and I know it, but learn to speak well of me." Tell the person, "Say good things about me." Tell the person, "Look a little closer. There are so many good things about me." Can I have an amen? Amen? How many understand that point? How many understand what I'm saying? Learn to say good things about one another. Hallelujah. Learn to say good things about one another. Don't pick on someone because of one fault that they have. Hallelujah. That's where we are. The Bible says we are being changed. If I let me show you that verse before we close this morning. You know, let me show you that verse quickly. Go with me, everybody, to the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, Shegun, are you bringing the verse? Okay. Says, "But we all," why don't we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Hallelujah. Now, do you understand the verse we just read? The Bible says, "We all," say "we all." Everybody do this. Do this. Look at me. Everybody do this. Say "we all." We all. Say "we all." Okay. It says "we all." We all. We all. Not some people. It says "we all are with open face beholding us in a glass." That word "glass" there is not glass as in transparent, but glass as in mirror. Do you understand? Right. So he says we are looking in a mirror, and we are seeing, it says, we are seeing in the glass the glory of the Lord. Do you understand? We are seeing how God wants us to be. Do you remember that when this whole thing started, the Bible started by saying, laying a foundation. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you remember that? The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Which means the glory of God is like there, and all of us have sinned and have fallen short of there. So God's standard is the glory of the Lord. The beauty that is around God is what we all don't have because of our sins. Do you understand? Now, when we come to Christ and our sins are washed away by the blood, then now we begin a process of attaining and climbing up to that glory. Do you understand? The thing that we have fallen short of, we begin a process of climbing and developing and coming up to that place. So the Bible says that we all are beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord. God is showing us how we ought to be by putting his glory in front of us. Do you understand? And it says, as we keep looking at it, we are changed into the same image. Do you understand? We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Do you see? So from one level of glory to glory. And it says that, and that is done by the Spirit of the Lord. That is why you need to be in a church where the Spirit of the Lord is. That is why you need to be in church early enough to participate in the worship and have an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord. Because he is the agent of the change. He is the one who changes people. And through the preaching and teaching of the word of God, the Bible says the word is God. So an encounter with the word of God is actually an encounter with God. So all those things work together. The entire church experience, the worship, the praise, the preaching, the singing of the choir. That is why we need to have anointed choir members. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's a component of the ministry. We can't have an anointed preacher, an anointed praise and worship, but an unanointed choir. No, that cannot work. That is why you people who belong to the choir must wait on the Lord in the morning, take some time to pray and say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to use me today. Because it is a part of the thing that is going to bring about the change. When you go to a hospital, you don't get better just by meeting the doctor. The doctor alone is not the person that makes you. Otherwise, you could have met the doctor in a grocery store and you should get well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I know people who even live with the patient. That is, the doctor, maybe one of his children or his wife is sick. And then the doctor is going to invite that person to come to the hospital. You know, you need to come to the hospital today. Because the things that need to take place for you to get well are more than I alone as your husband or child or father can provide. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why even when sometimes you have a friend who is a doctor, but having a friend who is a doctor doesn't mean you get well. So that friend, if he likes you, will tell you, I think you should come to our hospital. Do you understand? Because when you get to the hospital, you interact with so many other people who play different roles, all of which work together to make you well. Do you see? A different person comes to take your temperature. Another person comes and that person comes to take an x-ray. Another person comes and they come to do something else. So many different people come and they all work together to make you well. Now I'm saying all those people have to be filled by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who is bringing about the change. Hallelujah. So a church is a place where people are beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord which they fell short of. And which as they are progressively coming to know the Lord step by step, week by week, they are actually being changed into the image that they are seeing. And their lives are getting better and better and better and better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've seen it. Hallelujah. I've seen it. How people who come to church, smoking people, they smoke, you know, and as they continue to be in church, you just find them getting better. I even know church members who in the course of the service have to take a smoking break. You know, they have to maybe after praise and worship, they have to catch a cigarette outside just to finish it and then come back and continue. You see, the person is trying. They are struggling, but they are trying. I've had people who come to church and they say hello to me as pastor, and I can smell alcohol on their breath. And I'm thinking it's kind of early, but still, they've done it anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember, the scripture said we all. Do it again. Say we all. Say we all. Say we all. We all are getting better every day. We all are being changed into the image that we are seeing. That is why the image is so important. And the image is the scriptures. The image is God as he is presented in the scriptures. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I love the scriptures being right up there in the center, because that is more important than me. Do you understand? I am talking to you about this, but this is the thing that brings the change, not me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The scriptures, that's what brings the change. That's why you need to focus on it. You need to invest in a good Bible. You need to invest in something that allows you to write notes when preaching is taking place. Because this thing is a process, I tell you. And it's a process. A lot of healing is taking place as we continue to change from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Say, I'm changing from glory to glory. Say, I'm changing from glory to glory. Say, I'm getting better. I'm improving. Ask your neighbor, are you blind? Can you not see that I'm changing? Yeah. Even the fact that I come to church more regularly, I'm surprised you can't see it. Tell your neighbor, I'm surprised you can't even see that I'm coming more regularly. Listen to her. Listen to her. Sandra, listen to her. Can I have an amen? Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Amen. So say good things about the church members. Look, the members of this church are some of the best people you can relate with in your life. I tell you, if you are blessed to have one of the people in this church as your friend, I want you to know that you are a blessed person. Yeah, yeah. See, some of you are not clapping. You know, all of you here, you are not clapping. I don't know what it means. No. But I'm telling you that some of the people in this church are the best friends you can have. Yeah, they are the best people you can have. The best person to be around is someone who is devoted to getting well and getting better. What better friend could you have? Someone who is devoted to a process where the person is being changed. You know, the person is being changed. It's not over. They are not perfect yet, but give them time. Come on. Tell your neighbor, have patience with me. God has not finished with me. Why are you so impatient? Hallelujah. Amen. We are being changed from glory to glory, Pastor Henry. We're being changed. We're getting better. Every month we get better. Is it not true? Every month we get better. Wow. We need people who will be patient with that process. And people who will not look at what we don't do well and make that the subject of their conversation every time. And gossip about us and tell everybody. So when we even invite people to church, the people don't want to come because they are going to the church of such and such a person. Hallelujah. I said we're getting better. God is blessing us. And his spirit is changing us. You know, let's read the scripture again. It says, but we all, everybody read it. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Hallelujah. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. I tell you, according to this verse, your future is bright. Are you hearing what I'm saying? According to this verse, it doesn't even matter where you are now. What matters is that you keep the process going. Just allow the process to continue. That's why you need to continue to come to church. You see, listen, I don't get paid more when you come to church. I hope you know that. I don't anything if you come to church. But I'm just so desperate to let you know that God is changing you. A process has begun, and you need to give that process the best chance to get to work. Hallelujah. Amen. And that requires you to do something. If that requires you to leap over a few obstacles or to overcome some tiredness to be in church or to let something wait that has to happen on Sunday morning or to do your laundry in the night instead of doing it in the morning or to watch a movie or not watch a movie. You know, sometimes some people don't come to church because they rented the movie. It was $1.20 from the, what did they call the thing? Red Box. They rented the movie from Red Box from yesterday and they haven't watched it, and tonight it will be due and they want to return it today because they don't want to pay another $1.20. So because of that, they are missing church this morning so they can watch that movie and return it before the $1.20 is up. You think I don't know? Hallelujah. If that is what it means, that you would leap over a few obstacles so you can be there. Because we are only getting better. We are being changed. We are being changed. We are going to become better husbands. Better husbands. Oh, better husbands. Better husbands, brother. Yeah. Because some of us, we don't know how to do it. Yeah. Yeah. It's not your fault. One day if you become a bad husband, I won't blame you. Because you don't have any good example. You've not seen it before. Never seen before your father take your mother out to dinner or even the family to go and eat in a restaurant. You've never seen it before. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not your fault. But as we come to God and as we come to church, we are beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord. And we are being changed. We are being changed. We are becoming better people, better husbands, better wives. You understand? We're just the whole person becomes more likable. I tell you, I've come to see that there are a lot of things that can be cleaned off people. And many people can look a whole lot better than they really look. Hallelujah. Some people who don't stand a chance in our lives, if we give them some time, we'll be surprised what those people will become. Can I have an amen? So I've given you how many points today? 3 points. You see, time is up. I have to close. See, but I have more points. Like I told you, I am running out of time, not points. Do you understand? So because my breasts are full. You see, but I have to stop the breastfeeding right now. So, we close. Hallelujah. So, give me those points. Number one is be devoted yourself, isn't it? Then number two is what? Say good things about the church, isn't it? Number three is what? Say positive things about the pastor. And number four is what? Say positive things about other church members. Say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I will never say another bad thing about you. Tell the neighbor, forgive me. Just forgive me. The last one, forgive me. Yeah. That is the last one. Never say another bad thing about you. Hallelujah. Tell the person, even though you may be some way, I am not shocked. I am not shocked. We are all being changed. We are getting better. Edupoku, you met this man, pa. Hey, what has he done to you? Hallelujah. We are being changed and we are getting better in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's pray and bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. I want you to bow your heads. Everybody say, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be transformed. I thank you for the chance to be a better person, to be a better Christian, to be a better child of God, to be a good example of a Christian. I thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Everybody say that prayer to the Lord because it's a blessing. You know it. You have changed so much. A person who didn't go to church before, a person who engaged in all kinds of things. Sometimes they were hard on your conscience and you couldn't deal with it. But you couldn't find any way out because you found yourself doing the same thing over and over again. But since you started coming to church and since you began to be devoted to the Lord, a lot of those difficult things are now easier. And you are grateful to the Lord for it. Tell the Lord, I'm so grateful to you for the opportunity. I am changing. I am becoming a better person. I am becoming better. I'm changing and I'm grateful to you for that change. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for the change that is occurring in our lives. And every day we want to be more like you because you are the perfect image of God. The Bible says that we are seeing your glory and we are changing every day to become like what we are seeing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the church. Thank you for devoted members. Thank you for members who are committed, who come every Sunday, who come every Tuesday, who join different ministries in the church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such people in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this church. We see this whole place full with people who are being fed with the word of God. More and more people who have an encounter with you every Sunday in this very room. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Now, as we close this morning, maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to start afresh with Christ today. While every eye is closed, please, let's have a little respect for this short moment. While every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you, saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to stand in that place where I am sure that if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. I want that to be my blessing. That's what I want to take home today from this service. Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else? You know, you're saying, I want to be sure. I don't know. This is just about me. I know that I'm an individual. If I die today, I want to be sure that I am going straight to heaven in the name of Jesus. Just lift up that hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you. Okay, why don't we just say this prayer together? Everybody join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord, and I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart and forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed today? Are you grateful to the Lord? Powerful. Amen. We want to receive our tithes and our missions offering this morning. And before we close, let's receive our tithe. So if you have your tithe, please.